Can we just drink it? Do yeah. I have to shotgun?
Rabbit holes, digressions, and a little bit of digestion.
So if you're looking for a new bald man in your life...
Luckily, because of the bubbles, there's no indigestion.
You just know, and like, they're not wearing any pants. Unpopular opinion?
Get it, because shotguns and dive bars hand in hand, right?
What are you in for, leather lung?
That's the beer review. Shut up. That's the beer review. Shut up.
No sausage, please. Like, what are you talking about?
But you guys are like, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll drink to fucking everything.
Hey, buddy, make your noise.
Crust, white crust.
Pizza crust.
Pizza crust.
It's not just a clever name for a podcast. You guys are living the life.
Hell yeah. That's right. We are, in fact, Heavy Metal Over Six Pack, the only place where local, national, international rock, metal, and beer reviews.
You did it.
And we are welcome today with our fabulous guests that are pretty... All right, to look the other way about.
It's a radio show, so, you know, take that as you will.
We got.
We're joined by Samara. Is that how you would say that, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Which is funny, because that's actually the name of a guy who fucked me over trying to buy my first house. So
bastard.
Wow.
So I hope you guys are a lot better than that guy. But
we are in no way associated with people that own homes.
We are down one host this fine
day. He's in
day,
Tampa Bay, Florida.
But we're hoping that he's getting as suntanned as possible without us and enjoying his time down there. And these lovely fine folks have brought us a bubbly beverage today.
Bubbly.
That we're going to go ahead and give a good old rip on. It says they're fiercely independent. Can you guys tell us a little bit about this brewery?
Well, it's my hometown, St. Mary's, PA. That's where I was hatched. And straw beer is like a cornerstone. Like every kid that drank in high school or caused trouble drank straw beer. And like all the old heads are down with it. They've been around since the 1800s and they survived Prohibition.
Hell yeah.
Basically by
shit.
Selling...
politicians.
They sold the ingredients. Like you, they couldn't sell you beer, but you could buy the ingredients and make it in your bathtub
no
at
shit.
Home. So yeah, they made it through Prohibition, and so if you're from Elk County, Pennsylvania, it's like a staple in your diet at some point in time. You are a straw drinker, and locals hate on it because they're like, ah, man, I don't like the taste of it, or you know, because it's low,
kind of bland,
of course.
Cheap, whatever.
Yeah, but beer's I don't know, beer, man. I like it. I've always liked it. Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's, PA, this is their lager since 1872.
And they recycle their bottles.
Hey-o.
Yeah, they do have, you can get...
You're drinking out of a bottle that 100 other people already drank out of.
Nice. Listen, if you knew how many things I put my mouth on.
I've seen people crack open a straw, and the whole tip just breaks off.
Really?
Because it's so old.
So used.
You know, it gets
yeah,
that wetness,
no shit.
The returnables. You can actually see on their pounder beers, the pounder bottles, you can actually see the marks in the glass from... Where they go down the rail at the
really?
Assembly line, yeah.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. And I think every house in Elk County has at least one case of returnables with a couple of bottles missing.
Yeah.
Because they don't take them back unless it's a full case.
You could be missing two, I think.
Yeah, so if your buddy, like, drops a beer bottle, like, you're stuck with this case for the rest of your life.
That's wild.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to try this, though. Grab hold of tradition, sir. Happiest sound in the world.
Mm-mm-mm.
And survey says
it's not terrible at all. It tastes like a lager. I mean, it's
a diabetic.
It's
beer.
Smooth.
People who are diabetic,
like it's diabetic.
Drink that
really?
Yeah,
because it's all natural. They don't add no preservatives.
Yeah, no salt and sugar. Been
and
that way since day one.
They have what they call straw greenies, and a lot of people live and die by them. It's Green Bottle. It's the same beer.
I was going to bring that up about the Green Bottles.
Yeah. The Greenies, if you don't get them fresh right from the brewery, they skunk easy because the light gets through the bottle worse.
Yep.
Because there's no preservatives in it.
Yeah.
But you get some, you get a fresh six pack of Greenies and you're good to go, man.
I'd fucking rock with this. This is fucking good stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go through and rate it, but we're going to have to pass it over the flavor palette a couple times. It has this, like, I don't know.
It's not invasive at all. Which
is
nice.
It cold? Is it cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been in the fridge.
Yeah. No, it's I don't know. It's like a summertime fucking sipper. I don't know. I'd fucking cruise these. I'd drink these out on the lake all day.
Oh, yeah,
it
totally.
It is a lake drink, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, made with
Pennsylvania. I mean, when that sun just and hits that, as you're just deep-throating that bottle.
I love the
yes.
I love when beers are like super carbonated. I fucking love bubbles, and that's I'm getting some extra bubbles with this, and I'm
you
fucking
shake
digging
your beer before you drink it.
They can.
I wish.
I wish.
They can snowball on you real easy.
Yeah,
and they can shotguns.
Start going down smooth.
Yeah, probably not at 4.1%.
No, they're not. It's not a heavy beer by any measure.
You can tell it's an easy drinker, and I'm down, man. This is really good. Thanks for bringing this shit.
Yeah,
hey,
totally.
Anthony, what do you think?
No, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's not invasive. I mean, it's good. It doesn't have any like weird aftertaste. You know, there's no skunk. I know you guys kind of brought. I know that was the green thing, but yeah, I mean,
we're gonna have to save one for Mark here.
We get some
when he comes back.
Yeah, I figured if we're coming to heavy metal over a six pack, I'd better at least bring a six pack.
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you, man. That's fucking good shit, Anthony. What do you rate it?
I give it a 5.
No.
That's great, yeah.
No.
5 out of 6.
Easy
hold
drinker?
Hold on. As a beer drinker, you would get that 5?
Mm-hmm. Out of 6.
Out of lagers?
Out of 6.
Out of a lager.
Mm-hmm. He just likes to fucking argue.
Mm-hmm.
What would you rate that in comparison to a Bush?
Oh,
Bush Light? Nectar of the Gods?
That says it all.
Listen here. We're beer drinkers, and we started out with the craft stuff because the big kickers just ain't doing it for us. I'm not a huge fan of like the big time beers and shit. I wasn't drinking Bud Light before all this controversial crap happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't really enjoy pilsners and stuff like that.
Right.
The first beer I ever actually had, funnily enough, was a Bush Light, and it was by accident because I was 11. And it was in the same fucking cooler as Pepsi's, and all I saw was blue can.
Blue.
Granted, I reached in this cooler in front of all my football coaches and parents, and everybody saw me leave with this can in my hand. No one said shit. Walking down the stairs. And I started drinking it. I was real thirsty, man. I got a big old glub at it. I was like, oh, what the hell is this?
What's wrong with this Pepsi?
And then I heard my coaches walking down the stairs behind me. I was like, oh, shit. They're never going to believe this was an accident. So I haven't had it since. But I don't hate it. Like, listen, my three favorite beers are free, cold, and bottled. Right? So this right here is one of my favorite beers already.
Something so, about a beer,
I mean, we've
a beer
had
on ice.
Okay.
Beer on ice it just makes a little bit.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've had some really gross beers.
Oh yeah,
we've had plenty. So, like, where we find like if it's enjoyable and it doesn't hurt our feelings, then we're at least above a good chunk of them. You know what I mean?
As like, Mark would say, it's crushable.
That is 100% crushable.
You can crush it. Like, so that's a crushable beer.
You like brown ales?
Brown ales are good. Shed I think makes them.
Okay.
Brown ale.
I'll drink pretty much. I'll try anything. I mean, we've had some very
wild
weird,
things.
Nasty.
I've had ones where, like, if you had a fire and you took the ashes and put it in your mouth, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I mean, it's wild. Like, it's like, who thought this was good? Like, right. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Who was that? What brand was that?
I don't even. It was like a s'mores thing. It came with like a metal can.
I
put that one out of my mind.
I've told this story often, but when I was in the Army, when I was in Hawaii, the closest I could get to like a Belgium was like, you know, Blue Moon or Shock Top. And I don't really like Blue Moon. They just dry me out for whatever reason. I just think the flavor lingers a little too long. So Shock Top had a variety pack, and it was their original Belgian wheat. They had like an apple fucking beer and then their pretzel beer. But then it was this, they only had these multi-packs at, you know, where I was at, so that's all I could get. So the fourth beer was a Raspanero wheat, a raspberry habanero beer. That is the most disgusting thing I've ever drank in my life.
It's a lot of mix.
But I bought so many of them that I had 15 of these beers in my fridge. And so a bunch of my buddies from work came over one night, and they're like, hey, you got any beer? And I'm like, yeah. I was like,
here you go.
Hell yeah, I do. I was like, listen, first one to drink three of these can have them all. They're like, really? And they fucking down. They each get like halfway through, like, what the hell is this shit? Like, yeah, it's spicy and it sucks.
It's spicy and it sucks.
Spicy beer, dude.
Reminds me of that arrogant bastard kind of stuff.
Filtered stuff, that's brutal. Well, that stuff's brutal.
Very potent.
It's named exactly what it. Yeah. What it tastes like.
He saw me at one of the first shows I fronted Samar, and Rug pulls up, and I'm sitting in the back of my SUV with the hatch up, just drinking one. He goes, oh, arrogant bastard, we drank that back in the day. He goes, the good news is halfway through, it still sucks. It was one of the greatest things. That was when I finally felt like I belonged in the band. Like, oh, I have arrived.
Yeah. Somebody. My best friend from the Army is out in California. He's Spanish. And so I went to go visit him. He graduated for his new career. So to celebrate, I surprised him, you know, for his graduation and whatnot. And while I was out there, he's like, hey, man, you ever had a Michelada? What the hell is that? It's like Spanish beer with, like, tomato juice and spices in it. It's like tomato soup beer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
like a Clamato thing?
Well,
like, I think Bud Light does that?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about that, because that's like a lot of the old heads in St. Mary's. You'll see them sitting at, like, the local watering holes, and they will get a can of tomato juice and pour their straw in a glass and drop some tomato juice on it. But
yeah.
I have a buddy who mixes his beer with, like, pickle juice and all just random. It's like a witch's brewery thing over there. It's like, okay, weird, but sure.
It's interesting. Pickle juice is good for you, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love pickle juice.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Anytime they give me you want chips or a pickle? Give me the pickle. Put it in my mouth.
Whoa.
Hell
yeah. I thought you had ice.
Say again?
I thought you had ice.
Oh, sorry. We can...
We're not that fancy.
No. It's cool. I live in a dumpster, so...
I'm sure we can find some snow outside.
That's true. We were trying to rob a donut place's dumpster yesterday.
There was no robbing to be involved.
Hey, I got some stories about that.
It was free.
Well, I mean, we were coming up with a plan, you know, how we were going to get in there. And
yeah.
Well, technically, Doug was the mastermind of the whole operation.
I was trying to show these guys the ropes.
I was just a wheel man, I guess.
You're the getaway guy.
That's right.
Right before I left for the Army, I was living with a buddy of mine doing work on his house and whatnot. And, it was great because we were just two bachelors, you know. We'd play video games and drink beer, you know, all the time, just fucking hanging out and shit. And there was a night we got a little pickled, and we're playing for a while, and we're like, fuck, dude, like, it's a really nice night out, like, let's go for a fucking walk. I'm like, all right. There's a donut place down on the corner. Of course, it's 2 a.m., but all the chefs are making, all the bakers and everything are making the donuts then, because they got to be fresh for 4:30 when they open or whatever.
Right.
So you got two drunk dudes stumbling through a parking lot, and the back door of the donut shop's open because they're letting them drive by the door, you know, letting them cool off. And we're, that smells so good. And so we went up and, like, knocked on the door, and there's two bakers, and they're like, hey, can we buy some donuts from you guys? And they, like, looked at us like, we'll just give them to you. Really? Dude, they gave us like six fucking donuts.
Hell,
we, like,
yeah,
fucking rolled out. Well, 2 weeks later, we're hanging out and got some girls at the house. They're like, oh, we're hungry. We're like, dude, let's go get some fucking donuts. It's 2 a.m. Well, we go down there, and they got this van parked at the back door that's blocking it. And the side doors are open, so, like, nobody, like, I'm like, what the hell? And I was like, man, I want some donuts. Like, I got to go knock on this fucking door. So I opened the back doors of the van. The van is piled high with fresh donuts because they're catering for some event. And I was like, drunk me, I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I go to pull one of them out, but they're so fresh, it just comes out in pieces. So it just rips. And I'm like, well, I don't want to waste it, so I put it in my mouth. I go to grab it again, it's pulling apart. I'm sitting there fucking looking like a chimp cleaning its mother or something, fucking pulling all these donut pieces out, fucking eating them. And my buddy's like, hey, grab me a couple. He's hiding behind the dumpster. I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, one of the bakers, she's like, hey. I'm like, oh, shit.
I grab, like, covered in donuts.
I grabbed like six half donuts and went fucking running out of there.
Like a fucking raccoon.
Hell yeah. Honey badger don't give a shit.
Just got caught in a trash can.
Hell yeah.
That's a good story.
Hell yeah.
Before we get too carried away, though, I just want to, like, it's awesome to be on this show. Like, I've been a fan of this show for a couple of years now, so to be here is a trip for me. Like,
Yeah, man.
It goes back to, like, the reason we're playing tomorrow in today in New Hampshire and tomorrow in Boston. It all comes back to this show, and directly comes back to a buddy of mine, Patrick McElravy. He was he's
Seize,
yeah, yep. yeah.
Which is wild because we have, spoiler alert, our friends Skies of Terra.
Yeah.
Just did a song with them.
Hell yeah!
And they just sent. So
yeah. Oh,
that'll be coming up soon too. So
badass.
He's everywhere. Those guys are everywhere. But he's everywhere.
Yeah, I was. You know, I'm also in the band Endbringer too, and we were on. We had the same. It wasn't really a record label. They did a lot of promo for us,
yeah.
And it was Patrick's company, and he said, "Check this show out." And like I've been hooked ever since. And then that in turn led me to discover Bare Ass. Bare Ass, which turned into Dead Fiction.
Yeah, love those guys. They just did a new release too.
Yeah,
today
great
actually.
Band.
Yeah, yeah.
And
song.
I've actually brought them up to St. Mary's. They did a show up in St. Mary's.
Fuck yeah.
PA, yeah.
Let's go.
Great band, great dudes. And then also led me to discover Inverter. And Deke's the guy that hooked us up.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Thanks, Deke.
Yeah, we owe you, dude.
Hell yeah.
No, Deke's a great dude. He's like, talk about accommodating and rolling out the red carpet for us, man. Like, I never met this dude in person. We've only chatted via social media. And he's just like, no, we got it. No, we got it covered. We'll backline you. And we didn't even ask for any of it. He was just like, hey, how you guys like to be on this show up here in New Hampshire? Would that be a trip you'd be willing to make? Like,
hell yeah.
Well, yeah, we're kind of.
This is before we even knew the bands. We didn't even know who
we were. Yeah, like we didn't know who. Yeah, he just asked us. And then to find out. And here's a big full circle story. The band Tree, you know, from Boston.
Yep.
They're headlining the show tonight, and they've actually played up in our neck of the woods in Clearfield and Grampian back in the day. So, you know, got to drop the upstage. The king of Clearfield
the
hardcore,
upstage.
Dave Mariski.
Mm-hmm. Big Dave.
Yeah, Dave, he jokingly said that when you guys better mention me three times in the podcast.
Dave.
Dave.
He's been open to coming on too, so we want to try to get.
No, this is me absolutely inviting you guys. It would be great if you guys wanted to come up for Upstage Fest this year.
Yeah.
Like we'd love to have you guys. We said we were going to look up the date before we started recording, and then we totally didn't. But
all right, well, hit us up.
Totally.
About it.
Definitely, because
I got the summer off.
Middle August sometime.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They have camping with full hookups and everything. Yeah, so you guys, we'd hook you up with staying for free.
Oh, yeah.
Dope.
Not to pat myself on the back, pop my shoulder out the socket doing it, but like I'm one of the. I'm on the Upstage Fest crew, and
nice.
Like,
awesome.
Yeah, we,
hell yeah.
One of the organizers, I'm like, I don't want to say Dave's right-hand man, but like, because there's a lot of other people in line before me, but, you know, I've been working real close with Dave the last couple years on it, and, you know, they tell you to hang out with people that are cut above you, and
all
just
take it all in, man.
Yeah, like, I'm like a sponge with this dude, like.
Yep. That's how you gotta be.
Yeah, and I mean, him and a shout out to my buddy Skurve, Styles by Skurve in Bradford. He's my barber. He used to be a professional roadie and like.
Okay.
Get your hair cut.
Yeah, get your hair cut while you're on tour. Hanging with him and Dave and like the Samara guys has been, man, this last year, I've been playing music for 20 years and this year has been.
How's that possible if you're 12?
I wasn't.
You were 13.
I was 20.
Lied to us.
I was 22, Doug.
Shouldn't have been drinking vodka last night.
I think that's. Oh my god! Don't swear.
Stunt
at me
your
like
growth.
That. Yeah, all 5 foot of me, huh? Everything that they said not to do, I did when I was a kid, and that's why I'm only 5'6". Mm-hmm. That's how that rolled.
Damn.
You know, bad back.
Yeah, fight the man. It's fine.
My mom lights cigarettes off the other ones, so like, don't smoke. It'll stunt your growth. I was swiping beers out of a cooler when I was like 8. You know, like.
Wait, that's not normal.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, it's not normal for like, I guess. No, that is pretty normal for where I come from. Yeah. Shout out to Elk County, PA, and all my people back
there. Shout
out
to Dave, you know, real quick before I forget. Dave's not here, man.
Nice.
Wait, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
Who?
Who?
Dave.
King of Clearfield Hardcore. We told him we were going to say it. I told him I was going to say it, and he's like, dude, don't be an idiot.
I don't even know the guy.
Dave's the comeback king.
Yeah, he quit. He actually quit music for years. Like he was in a band called Final Stand, and they toured. And we're talking like the and he's gonna get pissed because I'm kind of fucking huffing his bird on this show here. He was like on a text message basis and like hung out with Josta from Hatebreed and all that. Nice. And one day he's just like, no, I'm not. I don't want to do this anymore. And he stepped back. And then it just so happened years later, I decided I wasn't going to be in a band anymore. And a guy that was a drummer in a previous band was like, hey, I've been hanging out with this dude, Dave. You got to come down and audition for our band. And that in turn got my ass into Endbringer, which in turn, I was a fan of Samara's before. Like,
really?
My Samara merch, like I have a Samara shirt and Samara hats. That was before I was in the band.
Right.
It was like,
I
thought they were just joking around when they asked me if I wanted to come down and like be a part of the band. I was like, yeah, right. Come on now.
Silly.
And then I laid out like an ultimatum because I live an hour and a half from these guys, you know. So like practice is a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about whose idea it was.
It was Dave's. It all comes back to Dave.
Full circle.
Because he's like, look, man, I just want to be in a band and just make music. I don't want to travel or go. And he's like, this guy here in my band wants to go. You guys want to go. This is perfect. So Rug hit me up and was like, hey, you want to be? And I laid out an ultimatum, you know, being as we're. And I'm like, here's where this begins and here's where this ends. It was really nice getting ass, but I'm only going to be able to practice once a month. Blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay. Yeah. Wait, that's it?
Wait, yeah.
Hold on. There's no argument here. And then what did it end up turning into, Rug?
He comes to his first practice, and we get done. We're all getting ready to wrap up and leave. And he's like, so every other week?
Yeah. Like, which is,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, as far as like being a well-rehearsed band, every other week is like I'm not, you know, that's not, but we gelled so quick. And it's not like I'm not doing my homework on my own.
Right, of course. Right.
It's just the only, like, those guys get together twice a week as a group without me.
Right.
So, like, if I don't bring my A game to those every other week practices, like, we're.
Yep.
So it made me up my game, you know, like most unsigned bands. I don't know any band I've ever been in. It's like a once a week practice. You get together, you knock back beers, you bullshit.
Well, we do quite a bit of that too.
But
that's what we do. Wait a minute.
So it's the same here as it is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But you know, like, it's like these guys made me up my game. Like, it's one thing to like be on the ground level of a band, like. Which every band I've ever been in is like, hey, well, me and a bunch of my friends are starting a band, or me and a couple of guys. Like this one, it's an already established band with songs that I already love. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, hey, now, like, it makes me up my game a lot, you know, and because I don't want to disappoint these dudes. You know what
I
mean?
Totally, like, totally.
But it's been a trip. The last year has been insane. Like, I don't know how many shows we've done, but it's been like one right after another.
Hell yeah.
And then I get to meet Doug. And, you know, they've introduced me to a lot of underground punk rock and stuff like that.
Maybe.
No big deal. I just went
somewhere. Gave him a guitar.
Oh, that's so cute.
Studio tomfoolery. Messing with the coasters.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Fucking artists anyway.
Oh, the Rhodes V with the polka dots. Nice.
You're welcome.
I was telling a story yesterday when I got to see.
Hi, I'm Doug. I got some AMSR for you. Paper.
That's nice.
Thank you.
I need a minute.
Hold on. I'm not done. Yeah. I'm not done. Plate.
Oh. Wow, it's like half slam poetry. Perfect.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
This has gotten out of hand.
Did we digress? We never do that.
Oh, off God. The rails.
So anyway, we never really had like a you know.
So about the
to
beer. No, just kidding. Actually, I didn't rate it, huh?
You didn't.
No.
I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
No way. No itinerary.
Thank you.
4.5. Boom.
You gave it a 5.
Okay. Hell yeah. But the average.
But I'm
an alcoholic. 4.75.
Are you new at drinking?
Yeah. We had to
only
take,
if I remember it.
We had to take the nipple off for him.
To the back pocket, just
rubber nipples.
I love how there's no format to this. Like,
how
it's
can
just
there be?
Like, they shoot the shot. But it honestly is one of the reasons why I listen to the show on the regular. Is
hell
just
yeah.
Because it's Just
you never know where it's gonna go, man.
You guys have been my friends for years. You just didn't know that I was eavesdropping. Yeah.
Don't tell John that.
Yeah. Yeah. John's our number one. But yeah, I'm honored to be a part of the schizophrenia going on in your brain, man.
Absolutely. Like I'll sit in my garage, like my drink in hand, like I'm part of the gang. You guys don't know it though.
You know what? It's time for my happiest sound in the world too.
There we go.
Yep. Hell yeah. It's awesome. Well, we love fucking having y'all in here, man. Structure's overrated because you gotta, you know, this is what getting to know bands and music and everything else is all about. The freedom of expression, like it doesn't have a set direction. You know, I can't stand people that bring people in on their part. And, okay, and we're going to talk about your origin now. And then we're going to get into each individual.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're like, motherfucker, shut up and hang out. You know what I mean? Totally, grab a beer and fucking make it organic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Ask the generic questions.
Yeah.
Although we've had a couple episodes, actually, the Tool episode. We lost twice. And you know, God forbid the guy...
So, but by loss, he means it didn't save properly.
Yeah.
So we did the episode
twice. It was
twice,
like an hour long. We did it twice. So the second time we had to kind of like recreate it, sort of. And then the third time, I mean, thank God, he was just kind of like, yeah, no, it's fine. We'll do it again. It's like, we look like an idiot,
but
it's fine.
We had the same exact conversation three times. Those jokes run out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a fairly recent one, too.
No, it was a couple years ago.
Was it?
Dave. Hey, everybody knows a Dave.
Everybody knows a Dave.
What a shitty name. Dave's
my dad's
here,
name's
man.
Dave.
Yeah.
So it was mine.
I knew a Dave once. I hated him. And what the fuck is his last name? I'm not. Actually, Corona. Dave Corona.
That's right, that's
with
right.
A K. With a K. So just like the beer, but with a K. Lead singer of Undertow for the Tool cover band. They did a great job. He's a hilarious guy.
He like dresses up and stuff and does like the where he hides in the corner. I mean, he does it so well.
Nice.
So well.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. And he was a trooper, man. He called in three times in a row.
Three times.
We like set aside. We're like, dude, I can't believe the first episode got lost. Do the second one. And it was a different technical difficulty, but we still lost it.
Yeah.
And so for the third one, we're like, listen, we have our phones recording. We have everything recording.
Like an FBI interrogation room.
Yeah, we should have just contacted the NSA. Yeah. Hey, can you get us that copy of that episode
somewhere?
Real quick?
Previous episodes, one of the funniest things you guys have ever, it was when you guys had Deke on from Inverter.
Yep, Deke.
And I think it might have been you, Dave, that said, I've accidentally seen Inverter three times. And then there was like this uncomfortable 45-second pause. And Deke goes, I don't even know what that means. Like, how does that happen? I don't know what that means.
I don't understand.
And then you explain that you were there to see other bands.
Yeah.
And Inverter just happened to be on the bill. And it was like, I thought that was fucking great. He just, I don't know what that means.
Well, it was accidental, but intentional. All three fucking times, man. Well, like, you know, and look, we're one of these podcasts that survived all the COVID shit and everything else. And like, we were still trying to go to shows, and like, we go to big time shows, we go to small time, we go like, mm-hmm. we just love the local scene, we love the music scene, you know, we'll go anywhere. Like, you want to take me, you want to give me tickets to a Shania Twain show, I'll be there, let's go, guys. You know,
yeah.
What I mean? Like, I'll be the first boot on the door.
No, whose bed have your boots been under?
That's a story for another time. Listen,
different podcast.
We get backstage for many reasons, I'll say that.
Hey, my first concert was Huey Lewis in the News, so there's no judgment here whatsoever.
Let's
whatever,
go.
Like, yeah.
I always think of American Psycho every time. Yeah,
how can you not?
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
Great movie.
Hell yeah.
Totally.
And we just love going to different shows and stuff, and it's so cool to see different bits, because like, you know, unfortunately, not every band works out, you know, and people split up or whatever and go different directions. But then you always see them with, like, their next group or with their next, you know what I mean? You just stay
it's
in the
scene. It's an evolving.
And it's just so cool. And it's so cool to get to know everybody. So that's what we try to do. That's what we're going to do here today. We might have to go down a couple classic digressions that we typically do on episodes that we have people in studio.
Gross.
But aside from that, that's the only real structure we have, you know?
No, like... And this show in particular, like I said, it's introduced me to some other bands.
Hell yeah.
You know, like,
that's what we try. I mean, there's so many good bands out there that, you know, they're so small, they don't get the recognition. I mean, we've talked about this with the scene. It's kind of like no one really goes to shows as much anymore. Like, you know, it's like all online. It's all this. It's like, you don't have the likes. It doesn't matter. Like, if they don't, no one goes to like look. They go to find the one band that they want to see, and that's it. There's no open mind to anything else.
They even, like, leave mid-show after they see the band they want to see. They just roll out. I don't
heard
understand
my
that.
Song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's nothing better than going to a show and being blown the fuck away by someone you never heard of.
Absolutely.
Right. It's been happening to me since that. Like, I went to see Pantera in like 2001, I believe, and Nothing Face was the opening band, and like it was one of those things where it was an unspoken rule amongst the older fellas that I hung out with. You just didn't care about the opening band. You went in to watch the headliner. That's why you bought that ticket. And then when I saw Nothing Face come out and like those dudes were handing out 2-song CDs outside the venue.
Yeah.
And when they got up on stage, like me and my friend had put the demos in our back pocket and we were sitting down. And then as soon as they started playing, it was like we both stood up and pulled the CDs out of our back pocket. Like, we need to take care of this. Yeah. These guys
do
are
not
something.
Lose this.
Like, yeah. I don't know what it was about those dudes, but ever since then, it was like, I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels, but when bands post set times and stuff like that, that's nails across the chalkboard to me. Like, I want to go at the beginning of the show, and I want to stay until the last band, because you never know. Like, I'm you never know. What was that one that we were on with the Stalemate of Wills and Onion? Who was the headliner? It was just a couple weeks ago in Pittsburgh. It was one of their last shows. Now I'm gonna feel like it. Dale was their guitar player.
But I'm not gonna say it.
I think it was Dave, right?
Dave. Oh. I bet they had it.
What was the lead? What was the lead? The headliner?
I'm trying to remember.
I can't think of it, but it was
Worm.
I'm going through your Facebook.
Something nice. It was
something Worm.
Preserving concerts. Is what
it was us, Onion, Stalemate of Wills, Ronin, and the
Worm.
These dudes were the ones that booked the whole show.
It's one word.
Yeah, and Dale.
How many letters?
In fact, the dude from Skies of Tarot was their front man.
No shit.
Torso.
It was definitely not Torso. No. But
pizza. Brick.
Offensive?
Pussy.
Offensive,
no,
Ronin?
No, keep going. That one hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but we're coming up with offensive.
Casket robbery?
Yeah, shout out. Oh, yeah, we just got that one, too. Shout out to Casket Robbery real, though. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them. Their singer, Megan, she's like this tall.
She's shorter than Travis.
And she is fucking fierce, dude. Yeah. Like, she, like.
The little ones always are.
Yep.
You meet her at the merch table. She's super bubbly, nice personality. And then as soon as the house lights come down, she looks at that audience and immediately kills half of them before she even opens her mouth. Awesome. And then when, like, their Casket Robbery's on the way up right now. They're doing some big things.
I
so.
Like to see them.
Yeah, so to be on a, like, I've seen him a handful of times, and to be on a bill with him is, like, that's a big deal to me. But anyway,
I digress.
What? Uh-huh. We never do that.
It was the Winter Freeze-Out Show.
Yeah, I can see the flyer right now, man. But
Winter Freeze-Out Show?
That was in January.
It was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Onion was a big surprise. That man still made a Wills Bull.
Stalemate of Wills was
It's one of
Ironside?
Ironside, yes. Sorry, Dale.
One word.
You mean Dave.
Sorry, Dave, too. But yeah, Ironside. Like we were on the bill because of Ironsides, and then to be able to see Onion and Stalemate. Yo, they fucking bulldozed that audience. So
yeah,
it was, you know, why wouldn't you want to show up early and stay late? Because then you don't
wasn't
get the,
there.
Dave wasn't there at all. You don't
Did
get,
he have the stuff?
I don't want to say on the air. But you know, you wouldn't get exposed to those bands if you just showed up to see the band that you liked, and that ended up leading to we ended up getting those Ronin dudes on the show with Offensive at Mr. Smalls in Pittsburgh because of that show, because they were great too. Like, I mean, I glossed over them a couple of times unfairly, but yeah, they're young dudes. They got something going for them.
Those are always the ones that. You see the most potential in, you know what I mean? Like, you can shred and fucking get down that early in life. Like, fuck, man. Like, you gotta go. You gotta keep going after it.
Totally.
You know? Love that shit.
Man, if you want to say I have any regrets in life, it's definitely that I didn't do what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Before
there's
I signed
reason,
up for the Army.
There's a reason none of that happened before.
Well, if it would have happened before, I would have ended up dead in a hotel room probably from a vodka bender. I wasn't strong enough back then to handle it like I can now.
Thanks, military.
Yeah. Thanks, Army.
Good for something.
Yeah. What'd you do in the Army? Mostly the Liver Olympics.
My first weekend in Fort Stewart, there was a dude who went to school up at Gannon in Erie, PA, and we got our first, and I went up and I had a dude buy me 212 packs of fucking Natty. Natty Light. And he bought them, and I'm...
Peace be with you.
And, yeah. Yeah, he says to me, he goes, who you splitting this with? And I'm like, nobody.
My ancestors.
Yeah, when it kills me.
He says, what do you mean nobody? And this dude from Erie, or that went to school in Erie, was like, he's from St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. And the guy looked at him and said, what the fuck does that mean? He goes, no, he'll drink that. He'll be fine. He's like, I went to school with a girl that weighed 90 pounds and could drink everybody that I knew under the fucking table. He's like, they're born with it up there.
In the water.
Yep. So you're just bred an alcoholic, I guess, when you come from St. Mary's. Like I said, shout out to my people back there.
Yep. Awesome.
Especially Dave.
Hey! Never heard that name before.
Even though he's not.
Dave's a Clearfield guy. Yeah, he's new to I introduced him to the St. Mary's lifestyle. Ooh. Yeah.
Who?
Dave.
Who? When?
How?
I always hate when people people find out you've been a service where they're like, oh, what'd you do in the Army? Like, how do you expect me to answer? I did what everybody else did. I got fucking yelled at for a living.
Yeah.
I did what I was told is what I did.
They made you do push-ups.
I did push-ups for fucking not filling a sandbag properly. How do you fuck that up?
Yeah.
Do it by the grain.
I dug holes and shot 32-pound bullets.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Rugg's a military man, too.
Yep.
11 Charlie, I was on the mortars. High in hell.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
12 Bravo, we were the engineers. We lead the way.
So how's your hearing?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my tinnitus is a son of a bitch. I was the only one qualified on the Mark 19 in my unit. So
those things are rad as fuck.
Yeah, when I was E5, I had to run an entire range by myself because I was the only one fucking qualified. And it was right before I got out, and the shit almost fucking killed me. It was just a sim round, but we got a hot load. We got a hot load of fucking sim rounds.
Ooh.
And so I had two lanes going with the Mark 19s, and the first one on the left jams. I'm like, oh shit. He's like, wait, flagging me down. We had just started now. I walked over and, I get the jam cleared. I throw some more goop up in there and fucking slap it shut, give him the tap on the helmet, and he starts running. And the other guy on the other lane is like screaming, waving his hands at me. What the fuck? So I like shut the range down. I'm like, what? I'm like, what the hell is it? And I look. The Mark 19 round exploded in the chamber. And the head of it kicked out the side, and the paint streak was exactly where I was standing.
Oh,
dang. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, wow. Thank God that shit over there jammed, because chalk round or not, I don't want that at 3,200 feet per second into the fucking torso. fucking getting hit with a softball. I'm good, man. And so we had to have a TACOM come out and, shut everything down, and they pulled the pallets of ammo and then just dropped off another one. Like, all right, keep going. I'm like laying down, making sure. I'm standing like 30 feet behind.
Yeah, way behind.
Y'all ain't catching me again. I ain't that dumb.
That's nuts, dude. Holy shit.
Crazy world, man.
So I had 7 years in, but I got out in, 94. So yep. I've been out for quite some time. Probably.
Before I was even enlisted, I enlisted in 2000, dude. Or 99, because I went in 2000.
Damn.
Yeah.
So we're old as fuck over on this side.
Hey, whatever. But, but without you guys, I wouldn't be able to do what I fucking did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was in there from, like I said, 2013 to 2018. And it's crazy. But it's crazy, the technology that changes. Like, they changed M4s, While I was in, they changed up the... We got the M2 A1s instead of the regular M2s, so the headspace and time was a lot easier. Oh, man. Speaking of, so the M2s are the 50 cal machine guns for those of us who aren't veterans. You got to qualify every 6 months or whatever. People from your unit got to send them. Well, in Hawaii, you can only go to the Big Island to shoot calibers that big because Oahu's too fucking small. There's nowhere to do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's my homie calling me now. We had...
Is it Dave?
No. I became an instructor at the Installation Training Center on weapons and everything, and they're still teaching programs that I created over there because I was like, look, this shit is not this is not, we're not making the most of our time here. We could make this, we could
actually. Well, that's how the Army goes.
Right. So I did all these things, but that made me meet like all these different kinds of people from all these different units and all this stuff. And so people would always be coming by and asking us questions. And we're like, well, there's a unit over there called 93rd. And we got a call from our TACOM LAR that every single weapon, every single M2A1 in the brigade had to be serviced immediately. And we're like, yo, it's Monday. Like, what are we doing? Like, they're like, no, like, hands down, like, every single weapons mechanic was going through every single arms room. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck happened? Come to find out, there was 93rd had A1s, and they had just regular M2s, and nobody did the headspace and timing on their normal M2. And one of their soldiers fucking double-fed two live rounds into the barrel of the 50 cal.
Oh.
The fucking receiver exploded, came out through the back, and took off both his nuts.
Oh.
Bro.
Jealous.
I was like, he spent like, I want to say like 3 months in Hilo Hospital, and he fucking got medically retired. I don't know how that.
Yeah,
like,
it just made my skin crawl, man.
Like, now I understand why we had to shut down and fucking do headspace and timing on everything, you know. I was teaching those classes for the next like 6 months. Like, please, for the love of God, if it jams, don't rack it. If it jams, don't rack it.
Please,
fuck.
Please.
Break the belt.
You want to lose your nuts?
Yeah, dude. It was rough out there. It's crazy. And like, but a lot of people don't know that. You know, more deaths in service happen in garrison than they do overseas.
Absolutely.
In training, you know?
Yeah.
I know tons of people that unfortunately lost their life in training. It's like, there's not a lot you can do. You gotta kind of keep fucking
that
going.
Definitely happens, yep.
It's awful.
And, you know, on that note, I'd like to thank you for the work you do with the minus 22. That's the fucking killer.
Yeah.
That's also another reason why I'm such a huge fan of the podcast is that you guys donate time and energy and money to, like, I mean, like I said, anybody that's been a veteran knows what that 22 is all about.
Right.
You know,
right,
so
right.
I work with my buddy Skurve that I was just talking about. A shout out to Skurve and the rest of the Bradford posse. They do benefit every year. There's a crew of them, S&B Sound, my buddy Ralph, and they put on this, it's called Vet Jam, and it's an all-day concert. Well, they made it 2 days this year, and I finally got to take a band that I'm in up there again.
That's awesome.
And you know, Samara, we kicked off the whole thing on Friday night, and what was the final ticket count on that? It was like something insane.
900.
No, I mean the money that they raised. It was
12,000.
Yeah, it was like 12K
on
a 2 day show that they raised for and it's the charity. And it escapes me, and I apologize for not remembering the name, but the charity is like what they do is like say a family that had a veteran in it that lost their battle with PTSD. There was a specific family where they got the house in order, they paid off all the bills with this money, and then they started her in school because the wife awesome. That was left behind didn't, you know, they relied on his income from the military and got her a career going. Like, they literally are changing people's lives,
awesome.
Who, you know, and it's...
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the fucking... badassery in the world, fucking.
Yeah, they. So that playing that even when I wasn't in a band that was on Vet Jam, I went up there and worked with those guys, just like hauling equipment on and off stage to help the bands out. Just because, you know, I never look at too much of my military service like it was the greatest part of my lifespan,
right.
But like, I know that I met a lot of good dudes when I was in there, you know, and I know there's still a pile of good dudes in there, and we all have fucking bad days.
A lot of fucking idiots, too, though.
yeah.
I mean, we have to be part idiot to join, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you just hate hearing that story end that way, you know.
Yeah.
So anybody that's doing anything to that, that's to me, that's fucking amazing, you know, because we all have our lives that we need to handle. Like, you know, you got your families, your... people are married, they have kids, so for anybody to put themselves aside to help like a specific group of people, like, fucking hats off to you guys. Like, that's
fuck yeah, man. Well, thank you. Yeah, we I started that after I lost 5 people in 2019, and that was the year after I got out. You know, 4 of them were suicides, and it was like, the last one was my soldier that I just talked to. I just had a confidence, and so like that stuff sticks with you, you know. And I just want to do something different. You know, I know that there's a lot of organizations out there that are really great that, you know, try to talk about PTSD and get veterans communicating and on trips and stuff like that. But I didn't find any that actually took care of the families on the back end, you know. And so after contacting all these families and kind of seeing what that was like, I was like, man, I got to do something different. And I never ran a business before or a nonprofit, so I just jumped in, you know, and started doing this stuff. And then these guys fucking, they're like, hey, we want to put some shows together and help you out. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was super honored. So, like, all the benefit shows for Minus 22, that's all Anthony and Mark, man. I didn't do anything about any of that shit.
That's another one of my favorite episodes when you guys sprung that shit on them and handed them the check. Like,
bro,
it wasn't the uncomfortable Deke silence, but it was a silence you could tell, and like,
oh, my eyes were swollen, bro. I was fucking crying
when I was, you know, hanging out next to my radio. Even I was like,
fuck yeah, it,
man.
Yeah, man. And they've raised a bunch for us, dude. It's fucking dope. It's
I put all of that angst from that episode of Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack into the Back to Reclaim EP.
Hell yeah. Yeah, well, we're just glad to be doing it and helping the people in need. We got four families nationally that we got sponsored right now. Unfortunately, cool. There's a lot of people that don't even know who we are. So, like, we sponsor nationally anybody, you know. We have people as far as North Dakota and Texas, and as close as New Hampshire. And so, really anybody who can spread the word about the Minus 22 mission, what we're doing, what we're trying to do, that's going to pay dividends, because the people that need it often don't know where to look. And we've been trying to get in touch with all chiefs of police and first responders and things like that to get our pamphlets in their hands, as well as funeral directors, because those are the people that are going to be on scene the most, But even still, it's really just word of mouth. So I really can't say enough and thank yous for spreading the word about us and supporting us.
Yeah, in case you didn't notice from our small time that we've been together, I don't shut the fuck up. So, like, I have no problem telling people stuff.
So we can start this now.
I'll get the ball rolling immediately.
I'm going to get y'all a fucking stack of pamphlets and shit. You can fucking pass them out to everybody. I got some other shit for you in the car as well.
Absolutely. Like, that's, like I said, that shit, and not only near and dear to me, but my dad passed away from lung cancer, and he was prior service, and he literally went, like, undiagnosed as a manic depressive in his time in the service. And, like, he didn't, it's not that he lost a battle with PTSD, but, like, growing up with a dude who's manic depressive, who's supposed to be, like, your safe space, it, like, you know, it fucked me up for a little while, you know? Like, it was tough. So I've been in, like, every little corner of it. I've been on every, like, you know, they said when we were over in the Balkans, they said there hadn't been a rotation that had come through there where at least one soldier didn't commit suicide during rotation, you know? So it was, like I said, I've been in every facet of it. So to see anybody doing any good or making any sort of headway, like, I will sing those praises as far and as...
A lot of people, especially ones who've never been in the service or ever been to war, like, you can only learn so much from a school book or a textbook. And me, when I went in at 17, and I'm a 17-year-old, you know, fucking punk rock metalhead kid, hearing these stories of what the guys went through in Vietnam, and it's just...
Yep.
And then I have friends that I grew up with, and they went to Panama, and they went here, and then they come back, and they have a completely different look in their eye that you've never seen before. So the stuff changes people, and it fucks with them, and we need more of this to happen.
Sure.
Because it's a big problem, and not enough is getting done about it.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm huge on mental health, and I'm big, like, dude, to the point now, like, you know, I'm not kidding. When I tell you my eyes were welling up when I was crying that episode, like, and now I'm to the point, like, I'll cry in front of anybody. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
man.
There's a whole stigma now, like.
Oh,
like,
now Doug's on you.
No, but there's a whole stigma around mental health, you know what I mean? And, like, men crying and whatever else. And it's like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to keep being human. You know, if I keep this shit in, it's going to fucking kill me. I had a buddy of mine give me some shit. He saw me crying. He's like, oh, are you crying? I was like, yeah. Like, you know, I can cry and kick your ass at the same time. Like, they're not mutually exclusive.
Real
like,
quick.
I can be in touch with my fucking emotions and still fucking whoop ass.
Don't
you
let
know,
these
but,
tears fool you.
Yeah, but I got to let that shit out. And that's
I
really
can
all it is.
Be sad while I beat your face in.
Yeah. But it's just like, you know, we got to talk about our mental health. That. We got to have those conversations.
You're right. Getting it out.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's
better than keeping it.
That's another thing. Endbringer. Shout out to my boys in Endbringer. It's another band that I'm in.
especially Dave,
especially the king of Clearfield hardcore, Dave Mariski. We were advocates for the Hope for the Day Foundation, which is an online resource, hopefortheday.com, where you can find different outpatient services for mental health and you know, because there is a stigma around it. As much progress has been made the last handful of years. If someone can incognito go check these things out, they're more likely to go check it out without being judged, and that's kind of what Hope for the Day does. So if you're ever at an Endbringer show, I throw out stickers and wristbands for that.
Just send me the link whenever.
Oh, absolutely.
And when we do the episode, we'll make sure everything's linked in there.
Cool, yeah. I have to whore out all our corporate sponsorship.
This is, man, it's an outlet.
Yeah,
what it is.
Burning Stone Designs, those dudes, from the time I started with Endbringer, and all they do is just send me shirts, you know, and that sweet-ass jacket, that windbreaker, which breaks the wind like a motherfucker.
Does it break dance?
No, but I do while I'm wearing it.
I read it through Breaking the Wind yesterday.
Oh, man.
Didn't do very well.
Yeah, sorry, baby. I didn't know it was your turn.
But, yeah, that dude's based out of Pittsburgh. And, you know, just the fact that someone's willing to send you a shirt because you're in a fucking band.
That's cool.
I don't have to buy a shirt now. I have this one.
I have one.
So it's like I definitely got to give those dudes a shout out. Old School Designs, they hook us up all the time. Like, that dude.
Old School Print and Embroidery.
Yeah. They like, for this trip. Brian hit him up on what, Monday?
No, that was his last show. What was it, Saturday night?
Yeah. He hit him up and he's like, yo, we sold more shirts than we thought. We're going to need some for this run up to New England this weekend. And homeboy hooked us up in days. So
thanks, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
And Dave.
Of course, Dave.
And the Upstage. Upstage Music Fest is, that's something that, that's another, like, that all that money goes to charity. We pick different charities to divvy the money up to, and it's given not only the guys in Samar, it's given like me the opportunity. Like, we played with Sick of It All last year. We played with Madball, like
Life of Agony.
I saw Life of Agony on there.
Yeah, Sworn Enemy. Like, holy shit! There was a point in time where the very first Upstage, and like, I hadn't been on a stage that size or in front of a crowd that big in my entire, well, maybe one other time when I was in the band Death Rattle. Shout out to the Death Rattle guys when we play with Mushroom Head. But I looked off to the right of the stage. Yeah, back
didn't
in the day.
Tell me that yesterday.
I wanted to save it
we
for
had
the
a
show.
Long conversation about Mushroom Head.
Yeah.
we
mentioned that.
Joe.
We had Waylon Revis. Oh, yeah. Right,
no way. Yeah, I'm a little behind because I actually discovered the X-Man podcast. You guys know Doc Coyle from God Forbid and Bad Wolves.
Yes. Yeah.
He does a show called the X-Man podcast. Okay. So I've been deep diving into that.
Yeah.
But I'm only a couple episodes behind. Waylon was like. He was so nice to me personally when we played with him. Like,
nice guy.
Everybody in that band was just really cool, really chill guys, very accommodating.
Where I met Waylon was actually at the Tank in Agawam.
Oh, right.
No way.
They played a show there. His band, what's the name of it?
The Killer's Confession.
Killer's Confession. That's right.
Yeah. So we saw them, and they did a cover of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt. Mm. So they did that. And nobody else in the crowd knew the words to it except for me. So he was going back and forth with me in the crowd singing Hurt. And we were like singing at it. It was great. It was like this whole fucking moment and everything. And then we met him and he called into the podcast a couple weeks later. And we got to kick it with him and talk for a while. That episode's still up there. So
oh, yeah. Still there.
You can definitely
it's an older one.
Yeah.
How does nobody else know the words to that?
I was going to say that as well.
Wow. I don't know.
Whether it's Nine Inch Nails, Johnny Cash, I mean, take your pick.
Fuck,
I mean, like,
right, man.
I know when Eddie Guerrero died, that song fucking cut me in ways I never knew.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, Eddie Guerrero.
Did you cry some more?
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
you want me to kick your ass?
You hear the record scratch, and then it just roll credits on the episode.
That was it.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us here today. oh man, but when Death Rattle played with Mushroom Head, we took the Metallica approach. We'd like do covers of bands that nobody ever heard of to try to play it off like we did it.
Nice.
And one of the bands that we were biting off of was Texas Hippie Coalition. We did two of their songs, and while we were doing Turn It Up, I looked off to the side of the stage, and there's Waylon sitting there with his phone, like, record. And then when we were done, like, after Mushroom Head played, we're sitting at the bar hanging out after the show, and I'm like, yo, dude, you seriously take a couple pictures of me singing out there? Like, it was weird. It caught me off guard, because before that, you know, we played to like 50 people a night, and then all of a sudden we're on a stage playing to 800 people.
Yeah, that's wild.
Mad Viking Beard Company put on that, and shout out to Jason and Jay from Mad Viking. Those guys have always treated me well.
Sounds like a beer we need to try.
Well, Mad Viking. Beard.
Or Jason and Jay.
Beard. Yeah, yeah.
I want to try your beard.
Yeah, trying to quit.
But he said no. He's like I filmed you guys playing Turn It Up, and I sent it to Big Daddy Rich, the singer of a Texas Hippie Coalition. I'm like, did he message you back and tell me to knock it off? He said no. He said I love it, man. And then I ended up, a friend of ours opened for THC like a couple weeks later, so we went to support his band, and somebody let it slip that the dude from Death Rattle was at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh, and he says, well, I want to meet that little motherfucker right now. And, you know, like, I come walking out, this big old Texan literally shuts down an autograph line. Like, he's signing autographs. He stops. He goes, hold on a second, darling. And he says to the lady, and he's like, this little motherfucker right here. Dude had a hand like a frying pan. Like, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
Come here.
Like, put me in, like, a sweaty fat guy headlock and starts, like, slapping me in the chest. And it's like getting hit with a frying pan. But I'd never been so happy up to that point.
That's awesome.
And he's like, this little motherfucker right here got a set of lungs on him. Let me... And he let me and my friends hang out in the back of their trailer while he signed autographs so that we could fucking hang.
That's cool.
And that's how cool Waylon is. Like, and, you know, he had a bad out at the beginning with the Mushroom Head guys when he first left. But
Dave's cooler.
Dave Felton, gravy. There is a Dave in Mushroom Head. Yeah, Dave, gravy.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's like 12 of them.
But... And then playing upstage and seeing, like, Sal from Sworn Enemy sitting off on the side of the stage. Like, it gave me a completely different outlook. Like, all of a sudden, like, I'm not just a dude in a bar band. Now I'm, like...
You cried.
I cried, yeah. Like, yeah. Like getting...
And then you beat him up.
at the same time.
I'm so happy right now.
But it's cool. You make these connections, too, and you can just, like, really build upon that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a community is what it is altogether. Like... And it's neat to just see different ways.
So that's another reason why this is like a huge deal for me, is because, like, you guys cover all of that. Like,
the
local band playing to 20 people, I've heard you guys talk about, to the band packing stadiums you guys are talking about. So, and, you know, beers that I've never even heard of nor will ever remember.
Yeah, no, same. Yeah. Same. And we're the one that drinks them. I mean, I think Marcus has brought up a couple of times. There's so many. Like, you lose them after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some, they all sort of taste the same to a point, you know, in a degree. And it's like, right. I guess four. I don't know. You know, like.
Sorry I didn't get to meet you, Marcus. I hope Tampa's fun. You know,
I'm sure he's enjoying his.
Yeah, like if you had a choice to hang out with me or go to Tampa, Rug, what are you doing? Like, you're going to fucking Tampa. Fuck that guy. You know, we're not that cool.
Yeah. I've been to Tampa, though.
I have, too.
Depends on, I guess, where in Tampa. I mean...
Yeah, hurricane season.
Yeah. When and where, I guess.
I had a friend of mine. I mean, you could call it hurricane season. He got married on the beach down there in Tampa, and then, you know, the marriage did not last. But when his in-laws first got to meet his friends, and I say we come from Elk County, St. Mary's, drunks. They got an education. They were Haitian.
Oh, okay.
So they'd never been exposed to, like, full-blown alkies. And not like that we're dependent on booze or anything to get by, but when it's like
part of the day.
Elk County is real blue-collar, work hard, play hard. So, like, when it's time to drink, we drank, you know. And these people were just, they had to spend a week with us. Yep. So they were just mind blown.
Like, oh my God.
They get up and do it again?
That was terrible last night. Why would they do the same thing twice?
Yeah.
That's.
So, yeah, not just to make this trip up here. So I don't think I've properly thanked you guys, because, like I said, this whole trip is due to you guys. If I don't know the show exists, I don't get to meet Deke, I don't discover the band Inverter. I mean, I'd still be friends with, shout out to Patrick McElravy.
Yeah,
the whole universe. One big
Well, I mean, that's why we do what we do. We like to spread. You know, there's so many, like I said, so many bands that just want to share. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, on a personal level, I share music with people all the time. I find a new band, I'm sending it to everyone I know who likes that music. I mean, that's just what I do. You know what I mean? That's just...
We are everywhere.
And like
I'm
you said a little while ago, there's so much out there.
Oh, it's crazy.
It is insane.
And so much is like isolated, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're only to their respective areas of the state or country
so many
or wherever.
Different variances of the same stuff and just different shticks and spiels going on. And
totally. Absolutely.
It's a shame that more people don't get out to experience some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just experiencing, but like we were talking earlier, like live shows, like the ticket counts are down, man.
Yeah.
And that is such a, not just from an artistic standpoint, but Jesus, from a social standpoint, like, you know, like that was what we did when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, dudes would go to the punk rock shows at the St. Mary's Youth Center or like a half hour away. This is gonna blow some minds too. Hatebreed playing in Clearfield, like when they were touring on "Satisfaction Is the Death of Desire."
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. We used to have Ozfest up here, not Ozfest, Local Bazooka, where they'd always bring like a national around. So I mean, you get all these big names, but there's so many local bands that would and it just spreads. You know, what I mean, it was cool. It was like 5 minutes.
Means a lot
here.
To the locals to get an opportunity to do something like that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Like, we make no bones about it. We understand that whenever we play a show, people are there to see the headliner.
Of course.
Like, you know, that's what sells the ticket is, but I don't, I mean, has the industry gotten that cutthroat to where those big name guys are like not willing to take the younger guys out? Like where, you know, if that's cutting into a profit, because I mean, there is no profit at our level whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, then you fight that battle too, because there's a lot of venues. And depending on the tour that you're on, they do like the profit level or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So if the headliner band sells a shirt for $40, the opening band has to sell a shirt for $40. And that's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that like, hurts. Okay, but then you go there. Like, I get it on two sides. So it's like, cool, you could sell a shirt for $40, yeah. But also, like, if you had the choice of the headlining band or whoever this is for $40, so you play that card a little bit and, you know...
No, dudes are buying the green jelly shirt, not the Samara one.
Yep.
That, you know, like
we're actually meeting up with them with Deke actually because they're playing.
Yeah.
I forget where, but I think Boston maybe.
Yeah, it is. He hit me up. They were looking for a PA date, and I was gonna try to see if I could work something out. I don't know if it ever came to fruition or if they just decided to scrap plans, but they are playing. Green Jelly is playing the Upstage Fest this year.
Oh really?
They're one of the Friday night bands.
That's
awesome. Yeah. Yeah, how about
that?
Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's breaking news or not, but yeah, that
it is. Well, I mean, it will be in.
So
whatever we post this.
When is that best?
No,
I'm trying to find.
It's still like August, right?
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I know it's in August.
It's towards. Yeah,
I'm setting up my schedule now. I get a long August ahead of me.
Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack Podcast. Marcus, Dave, and Anthony signing off. Check out the podcast at hmoa6pack.podomatic.net. Email hmoa6pack@gmail.com. Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.